I'm gonna flip out like a ninja, and you should flip out too. I'm gonna flip out like a ninja. Besides, what ninjas do? I'm gonna flip out like a ninja, and you should flip out too.
Welcome to Ninja Consultant Show 25, our first show in our new format. After a year, we finally found we finally figured out how to use our equipment.
Mostly.
In theory. So what we're going to do is we're going to have three basic segments on this show. Oh yeah, we're doing
four.
Now what we're saying what we're going to say, and then we're going to say it, and then we're going to say what we've said. And then we're
right.
going to give contact information and shit like that we always forget. So.
Except then I'm going to throw things into the mix that you don't expect to keep things organic.
To make sure it's at least 45 minutes long, and I'll have to increase the speed by at least 20%.
Right.
Okay, so...
Don't give away our trade secrets.
Oh, right. First, we're going to respond to an email. So
wait, no, I think first we have a segment that's called New Business, where we discuss things that have happened since the last show that maybe we want to...
So like the apocalypse style, what I did this week.
No, not exactly. I want... to reflect on that Anime World Order episode that played for me a little bit earlier today.
That's like a 45-minute discussion at least.
I know, but I only have 3 minutes worth of things to say now in new business.
Okay, cool.
All right, which is this. I don't want to refer to a discussion that no one has necessarily heard.
Right.
But I guess I'm going to.
A lot of our listeners listen to that show.
Okay, good. This is on the topic of...
Oh, but you had to listen to their extra, the hour that they cut out of the show where they responded to the Geek Nights podcast. Because Noah didn't listen to the last episode of their show, he listened to the hour-long extra.
Right.
I have something to respond to where their guest said something about cosplay that I don't agree with.
Ah, go for it.
Okay, so I'll probably end up playing the clip from that show right about here.
I think part of the difference is misunderstanding creativity for actual work, which probably makes no sense. But a costume is created because you want people to look at you. You sit there and say, hey, aren't I cool? I'm the best Naruto you've ever seen. Look at that. I've got the exact perfect orange jumpsuit on. Praise me and worship me. On the flip side, someone who sits down and cranks out a fanzine, not necessarily like what I did, which was only one of them, which that's a whole other thing, but who cranks out a zine on a regular basis, puts out a zine for a club like so many people used to do, that's production. That's doing things to share with others. Not a whole lot of people can take anything away from you wearing a costume except, gee, nice costume. Let me break it this way. This very podcast, it's the creative input of three very creative people who say, we're going to talk smack about things that nobody dares talk smack about, and you do it.
And what I have to say on the topic of cosplay is that I don't think that it's all about getting people to look at you. Well, in a way, you can't really deny that that's part of cosplay, but having now cosplayed a couple of times, I think it's more of, it grows out of an organic love for the character that... Obviously, only a madman would want to dress like a cartoon character. So what drives people this insane? It's just a love for the show. And you want to show that love to other people in a very visible way. And I once argued in a forum that if you had a choice between wearing a t-shirt of the show you liked or dressing as a character, the way that's more outwardly social, where you can meet other people who are fans of the show, isn't just by wearing a t-shirt. If you wear a costume, it's so immediately obvious. And other people who really love that show come up to you and they're like, oh my god, I love that show too. It kind of breaks this fourth wall between you and strangers where they know immediately they have something in common with you, that they also love the show that you're dressed as. And maybe they love it as much that, you know, they might have made a similar costume. So there's this bond there that's very immediate and it's very visceral. And it's something you can't get out of a t-shirt. And also, I think cosplay adds to the overall convention ambiance. And I don't mean random cosplay. I don't mean like people do it really half-assed by putting on a pair of cat ears and a Naruto headband. That doesn't really count. I mean people who have actually bothered to make a costume, even if it's not the best costume. Like if it's not done really half-assed, if they put some time and effort into it, even if it didn't turn out really that well and it's just kind of average, they're still putting themselves out there and saying, I really love this thing.
Maybe so, but we rag on the people who don't spend any time on their cosplay outfits so much that I actually want to say something in their defense, which is that I think a lot of these people are new to the fandom and are just sticking their toes in the water, trying to figure out whether this is something that they want to dedicate significant amounts of time to.
Yeah, I tend to agree
with
that.
And that's fair.
That there are people who go to cons and it's their first con, and they realize, they know from the internets or whatever, that people dress up as in costumes when they go to a con. And so they're like, well, I better make a costume, but they don't really know how detailed and how well those costumes are built. So their costume ends up kind of subpar. Or especially if it's the first time you've cosplayed.
Right.
You really misjudge the time. Like, I was like, I'll build an Oscar outfit. That looks pretty easy. No, it was like a whole month of my life of doing like nothing but, more like 2 months, and there's still some details I'd like to work on. Like, I vastly, vastly, vastly underestimated how much time it would take. And I had someone who knew what they were doing helping me out. It takes so much longer than you think it would.
That's true.
It's an incredible expenditure of time.
It costs more,
but if
and
you're,
takes longer.
If you're new to the art or whatever, you're not going to know that. And so your first effort is not going to turn out that well, especially if you don't have someone who knows how to sew helping you.
All right, fair enough. What I want to respond to, I could probably talk for as long as they did on the subject. Very specifically, I want to rebut something that Ren and Steve said on the Geek Nights podcast. They claimed...
I don't think they said it on their show. They said it in a voicemail to Anime World Order.
Right. In a voicemail to Anime World Order, Ren and Steve from the Geek Nights podcast made the statement that anime is a more social fandom than other fandoms, which is ridiculous. And I want to make certain that everyone who listens knows the official Ninja Consultant stance on fandom in general. Aaron and myself, we are taken in different fandoms. A lot of the reason why we aren't, I think, more involved just in anime podcasting as it is, and Aaron is more involved than I am, because I am split between science fiction fandom, and I have a D&D game that I prepare for each week to great extent. And then there's the anime that we watch, and then I have interests outside of that. But the point here is that no one fandom can trump any other, except maybe furries, because nobody likes those guys. So if you're a furry or a filker, you're right. No, I'm kidding. But
I assume there can be good filks, but I don't know about furries.
The point here is that these interests contribute to socialization, and the statement that they made was that watching anime is more social than reading science fiction, in that you can't read science fiction together as a group.
Okay.
Well, it turns out you can, but of course you read it and then you discuss it
right. In
the same way that you might watch something on your own and discuss it at anime club, at a convention.
On a forum.
And what I hate to tell these guys is that when anime cons were in their infancy, there were 15 years worth of science fiction conventions in this country. 15 years worth of Star Trek conventions, which is really when the organizers turned it into something that could be reproduced from one place to another. I don't even remember when the first Worldcon was, but the fact of the matter is that anime is a relatively young fandom, and people who have come to anime before anything else tend to forget that, it seems.
Or they
at
just,
least
or
these
they
two
don't
individuals.
Know. They're just too young.
Or they don't know.
Well, these guys would know.
Indeed, anyone who speaks with absolute authority on just about any subject, it's probably true that they don't know as much as they think they do. It's
that goes for you, too.
It's
though.
Certainly been the case for me, yes, over the years. And as anyone who listens to this podcast and reads the notes afterwards, I'm quite frequently wrong. There you have it.
But yes, NAWO is right that, sure, that one guy dressed as a stormtrooper, he's not really taking that much away from an anime convention, but he is when they start dedicating panels to things other than anime fandom, and there's only so much time and all that kind of thing.
And in a way, yes, but he's also taking away from the ambiance, because after all, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? You're a little out of place. If we were all big polka enthusiasts and someone shows up expecting to waltz, we're going to be a little uncomfortable. I have no problem. And it's also, it's a question of, you know, keeping the riffraff out, which I might dedicate a rant to someday. Probably too long for the purview of this show.
Well, I think ultimately one of AWO's problems, and something that relates to keeping the riffraff out, is something like, what's that con that our friend the Lazy Ninja goes to? It's the really big one, but it costs like $100 to get in, but you can hang out exclusively with your favorite sci-fi authors.
Oh, ReaderCon. World Fantasy Con?
World Fantasy Con.
World Fantasy Con.
Where the
yeah.
price at the door is so high that it keeps out the riffraff, essentially. And I assume you would have to be over a certain age to even have that kind of money to throw around. And that's kind of what cons eventually turn into when you start excluding high school students and people who can't afford to get
Well, high school students who aren't so dedicated that they have connections. Because, let me tell you, any real, true, dedicated fan is going to find their way in one way or another. That's right. Always been my experience. And it was very refreshing to hear AWO echo the same sort of things that I think I have said, gosh, at just about every convention going back quite a while, which is, at some point during the convention, it's always just you and your close friends who you went to the convention with sitting in your hotel room saying, gosh, where is everybody? Like, where are the people that we want to hang out with? They're all in this room. Why can't we have a convention just full of people that we want to hang out with? That I will address at some later time in the keeping out the riffraff rant. He asks, in the context of a larger email.
Okay.
On the email.
On the show. So, email is from Sheila. I've been catching up on podcasts, and I think yours is great. I like to think that you look at all sides of issues and have a sort of check it out and see for yourself attitude. And I appreciate that Noah is older than the average otaku. I came real late to anime myself during a bad patch of insomnia. I watched Adult Swim to catch up on Futurama and found myself watching all those crazy anime shows just to figure out what the hell was happening. Now, a couple years later, I'm older, completely addicted, and still have no idea what exactly happened at the end of Big O. So thank y'all for shows and helping me embrace the inner otaku, Buttercup Boxer, the Flower Ninja. P.S. If no one needs a fangirl, count me in.
Heh heh heh.
To which I responded that I'm not sure if no one needs any fangirls besides me. Cough, cough, cough. And she was like, Aaron, right, sorry, I didn't catch until later shows that you were a couple. You seem more like fighting siblings early on. I withdraw my offer of fangirldom and wish you happiness instead.
I choose to respond to this by, I don't know what happens either at the end of the Big O. Oh.
Oh, well, she didn't get that we were a couple, but this other guy who wrote to us on Friday said that he thought we should get married and have a bunch of kids so we can brainwash them and
that's probably not going to happen.
We'll get married at some point. Turns out weddings are really,
really expensive. Especially when your girlfriend's old man is he's kind of a flake.
let's talk about your old man.
No, let's not.
But yeah, basically, yeah, our parents can't foot the bill for that.
We don't have any money.
No,
I'm not going to lie.
Well, we do, but I want to go to Japan more than I want to get married. It costs less, too.
Because in this modern time, essentially, I think we have all of the benefits of being married except the tax status. And who cares what the neighbors think? Actually, the neighbors are...
They're also unmarried couples,
so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me. I don't think that there's going to be any enormous difference.
But I'm sure that weddings are
once
ways
we actually
that
get married.
Weddings are ways that couples prove that they're better than other couples.
Right.
Right. Anyway, we're not going to have a crap load of kids either. Like, we're not really into that. I can't even have a... I don't even want a cat. You'd have to feed it. We want it for conventions. I grew up having a lot of pets, but now I know from years of experience that I cannot handle that kind of responsibility. Also, I'm an incredibly selfish person, and I need that money for me, and not, in fact, for someone else.
Kids are a lot of...
Kids are really expensive.
Yeah, it's a big expense, and we also...
I want that money.
...have lives not unlike kids ourselves, and I think we're interested in keeping it that way.
Yeah, I'm not a grown-up.
As horrible as that sounds, and as much as I am aware that it's becoming a trend in 20th century America that many people are trying to hold on to their youth much longer, and the same is unfortunately true for us.
Yeah,
I don't like to be part of any trend.
But I think we're really successful. We're like leading the curve on that one.
Well, we don't live in our parents' respective homes, and we have jobs, and we are contributing members of society, but I don't see that we're going to be able to put kids before, frankly, our hobbies. And I've always wondered about con babies. Because that's not, like, I don't see that as being necessarily a good way to bring up kids. I'm sure it's fine. It's just, it seems as though, clearly, the kid is taking the back seat to the hobby. When you're slinging a baby around a convention. But there is something uncomfortable to me whenever I see congoers who continue to live the otaku lifestyle, even after they've had kids.
Yeah, because I think ultimately when you have a kid, you're putting someone else's life before your own. You're no longer living for you, you're living for someone else.
Right.
And I'm not done living for me yet, so...
And more like than not, we will never be done living for us.
Yep.
Sorry, Mom and Dad. I don't actually think that you have any real interest in grandkids, but if you did, you're out of luck.
Okay, so we're going to do two more segments. We're going to do the, oh my God, why haven't you seen this yet, for our essential anime that we think everyone should have seen, which is not really a review so much as a mandate that you watch something.
This is a necessity.
Right. And also, then we're going to do a My Life in Fandom story, which I think you have one.
Yes, I have one.
Okay, because you said you had one. You better.
I have one.
Okay, so...
It's a good one, too. It's one that is special for the one-year anniversary show.
Okay.
Ready? Which is this show.
Oh, my God. Why haven't you seen this
yet? Oh, my God. Why haven't you seen this yet?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I haven't seen this.
OMFG.
Why haven't you seen this?
The Battle Angel Alita OVA. What year is it from? It's only 35 minutes long.
No, that's not true. There are two OAVs.
Okay, so it's like an hour long.
Total. Yes.
It came out on video in this country in 1993. Okay, so the Battle Angel Alita manga is being reprinted, the original run, and Battle Angel Alita Last Order is coming out. And I think it's really well read. Like, I think a lot of people who buy their manga from comic book stores and not from Barnes & Noble are, in fact, reading Battle Angel Alita Last Order, and maybe they're making their way through the older series as well. But... did you know there's a Battle Angel Alita OVA that has two episodes? And in fact, you can get it for $1.
$1.
$1.
In VHS.
Only on VHS. But
$1.
From the right stuff. And it's in stock. But no further discounts apply. But can you really argue? Like a dollar?
Yeah. You pay more in shipping. Who can beat that?
The animation quality of this is awesome. I've very rarely seen it used in AMVs, although maybe in old school AMVs it got used a lot more.
Yeah, it was used frequently.
It's freaking awesome. Oh, but also I guess you shouldn't read... it's not really for little kids.
This
is age rating 13 plus, I can see that.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's pretty disturbing and there's some, you know, head cutting offness.
So...
but not head exploding. And I think that's an important line to draw. It's a really good retelling... it's a good telling of the first two or... I think the first two books... of the original Battle Angel series. And you don't have to have read the manga in order to really appreciate the OVA. And in fact, I saw the OVA first and later read the manga, and was really disappointed how the manga went in a crazy direction.
Yeah, the manga is very weird. And
it's crazy crap.
Since AWO charts these kinds of things, I really wonder what causes the mangaka to have such infatuation with blood? No. I mean, there's lots of splatter gore, manga, anime, movies, everything. But this, why have such anatomically detailed exploding brains?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what does that do for you?
He's obsessed with brains. Like, it comes up a lot.
Flan.
He's obsessed with flan, but that doesn't come up in the OVA, does it? And it doesn't come up until later in the manga series.
No.
So he starts to become
flan,
obsessed with
flan. Spanish dessert?
Yes. You have to watch this now. Because James Cameron is making a movie of it, where Gunham, or Alita, as she's called in English, is going to be a completely CGI character, and the rest of them are humans. So before...
allegedly.
James Cameron ruins this, you have to watch the original anime, which is really, really good.
Well, I don't know.
Instant classic.
When James Cameron says that he's going to do something...
No, it's been greenlighted. They've been in production.
You know what? I don't care. He was saying, yes, we're going to do this movie. I've heard this rumor going on 6 years now, essentially. The most recent thing I read was that it's going to be a trilogy, that he said that he'd always intended to have three movies, that it's structured in a three-movie format, which is ridiculous. So we've talked a lot about why you should see it, but not about what it is. In the distant future, possibly on a different planet that's a lot like Earth, but not like Earth in some crazy ways.
It's Earth.
There is a scrap pile.
Like a junkyard.
Like a junkyard that is made of the refuse dropped by a giant city in the sky called Zalem. Amongst the refuse, a civilization has formed, made up partially by people who were apparently always terrestrial, and also some people who have been exiled from the city in the sky, which is, what is it in the manga? In the anime, it's called Zalem. In the manga, it's called...
I'm failing this trivia question.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we could have researched this more.
But we're going to call it Zalem because we're talking about the anime here.
It's true.
So one day, a man who has been...
Oh, I guess it's important that only junk falls from there and rejects from the city. Nobody goes up. Nobody can enter
right.
Zalem. It's a one-way ticket down. You can't...
If you are not born in Zalem, there is no way to make it to Zalem.
Right.
Except, maybe, there are rumors
yeah.
that maybe if
maybe
you pay
can,
enough money,
yeah, maybe
someone
you can, buy your way in.
Can get you there. So one day, searching among the wreckage, a man finds this torso of some kind of robot that has fallen from Zalem.
Android. She has a human brain. Or she has a brain.
Yeah, but...
And it's still alive.
It is still alive, and he's overjoyed by this, and when he puts it back together, he finds that he has a little girl, Alita.
Or Gully, depending on...
Or Gally.
Or Gally?
Yes.
Anyway, he names her something, and it turns out her name is something else, but
right.
go for it.
So this man's name is Dr. Ito. He is an exile from Zalem and provides healthcare for the various androids and body replacements in the scrapyard.
He's also a bounty hunter?
Ah, but you see, that's the twist.
He has to fund his hobby.
In order to fund this low-cost healthcare, he takes on the role of a bounty hunter at night and roams the city for thugs and derelicts and killers who he then assassinates and brings in their head for a bounty.
With his rocket hammer, which the greatest thing ever was like last year at AX, not this year. There was a guy who, like, we saw him from the balcony above and we're like, is he dressed like Dr. Ito? Or Ito or whatever?
Yeah,
and we're like, maybe. I don't know. That'd be pretty old school. And then later he went to like the Anime News Network panel or something as well, and I saw the mark on his forehead that would indicate that he is an exile from that city. And I'm like, are you Dr. Ito? Can I get a picture? And he's like, yep. And so I got my camera ready, and he took out his rocket hammer, and he twisted a device on the handle, and it shot steam out of the top. It was awesome.
Yeah.
At that point, several other people were like, holy crap, and they all took pictures too. That guy was awesome. He was pretty old, too, so like it was kind of an age-appropriate thing, but he was definitely going for the old school.
Right.
It was sweet.
So, a young boy helps fix Dr. Ito's laboratory. It's more, it's kind of like a hospital. And he does basic maintenance work. This young boy has it's Yugo. It's
Yugo.
The unfortunately named character Yugo. Y-U-G-O. He sees Gally and begins to have a thing for her. Just as she discovers what Dr. Ito's nighttime hobby is and wants to join him to help him out as he has become her benefactor. This works out well until it turns out that Yugo himself is one of these thugs. It puts him in a bad way where he is developing feelings for the very person who is going to hunt him down. The depth of characterization in this 110 minute OAV, or it's two OAVs, but
yeah,
the full work of Alita is two OAVs, 110 minutes. And I'm amazed at how much in such a lush sci-fi world, how much characterization they are able to squeeze in. And I can't comment on the dub, I've seen it, but I don't recall it offhand. But the sub is extraordinary for the Japanese voice acting work, which is tremendous.
This VHS tape is the dub.
Oh, well then, that's why it's worth a dollar. Maybe I'd hold out until you can find a fan sub somewhere.
Well,
I'm sure it's on BitTorrent or something.
I've only seen like an import version. It might have Chinese subs or something.
Basically, what we should do is when we say, oh my god, why haven't you seen it? We should provide the link where you can buy it immediately.
You can. It's just dubbed.
Yeah, dubbed for a dollar. But,
well,
but oh my
well,
god, why
enough,
haven't you seen the sub
well, if
of
we get enough
Battle
people
Angel?
To buzz about it, maybe they'll do a DVD release finally.
Maybe so.
Like a re-release?
I'm very surprised that this didn't get a DVD release. I'm sure it has something to do with the rights being tied up somewhere,
as it
usually does. This is one of my all-time favorites. It is much cleaner. It's a much cleaner story than the Battle Angel manga, which is its own very strange work, probably deserves its own show.
I reviewed, I don't know if I did a Manga Recon episode where I talked about Last Order.
Oh, I know you did. You did, actually, yes. Last Order is even crazier.
Time for My Life in Fandom.
Okay, but wait, before
what?
We do that,
what?
Let me say Battle Angel.
Yeah.
Check it out. Okay.
Way to go.
We're done. Yes, My Life in Fandom.
In Hawaii? He did that lead-in?
Oh, yeah.
But everyone loved our Cheetos lead-in.
Well, we can mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
This is a segment I like to call...
My Life in Fandom.
Where are the Cheetos?
Right next to you.
So, as I brought up earlier in the show, we try to be kind to other fandoms on Ninja Consultant. And as a result, this fandom story is not about an anime convention. It's about a science fiction convention. But this is about the luckiest day in my entire life and how a terrible convention, going to be a terrible convention, turned awesome. I certify that everything I am about to tell you is true. It sounds like a Shaggy Dog story, but it's all authentic.
But you're going somewhere with this.
I'm going somewhere with this. I was 12 years old, ladies and gentlemen. I was 12 years old, and if you are 12, or if you remember what it was like to be 12, you know that you didn't have much disposable income.
Unless you're some bratty rich kid.
Unless you're some trust fundy.
With a video iPod.
All right. Don't go insulting our listeners like that.
Okay, go.
I, however, was not a bratty rich kid, and I had no money. I didn't have enough money to attend this convention.
I thought you were 14.
But I never told you this story.
Go ahead.
Maybe I was 14.
Go ahead.
What is it? All right, Aaron's right. It doesn't matter. Actually, it does matter for stuff later. Hey, this is my life in fandom, not yours.
I wasn't even there.
As I was saying, I was 14 years old, and I didn't have enough money to attend the convention. All my friends were going, and I wanted to go anyway. I figured, worst comes to worst, I can just hang out, like, outside the hotel. I've seen people do that. It looks pathetic. It is pathetic. But at the time, I wasn't the high-level otaku that I am now. I was something more of like a third or fourth level noob. I get to the convention and everyone's milling around and I'm looking longingly at the line. And all of a sudden, because I have to understand, I had no money to my name, nothing. Out of this line pops this dude with a big hat and he's looking around and he makes a beeline towards me. And he says to me, "Look, do you need a badge? Because I'm with the press and I don't want to go to this thing." So I say, "Yes," and he gives it to me. And that is awesome right there. And that would make a good con story, but it didn't stop.
Okay.
Because the planets were in syzygy, the stars were in alignment.
Syzygy?
What? No, syzygy.
All right.
So what happens is I have my badge, so I'm going around, I'm seeing my friends, I'm attending events, and it rolls around, it's like 8 or 9 p.m., I'm getting a little hungry, right? So, going to the hotel rest with some of my friends. You have to understand, friends are also 14 years old at the time. So there we are, and we're hanging out. They're eating. I have no money, so I can't really order any food. And I haven't at this point told people, because I'm embarrassed that I don't have any money. So I'm sitting there making little card houses out of sugar packets on the table. And
at a restaurant at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Now we're,
Well, you said order food, and I thought maybe you were in a hotel room. But you didn't have a hotel room because...
Right. No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. But now you're telling. I made this luxurious sugar packet mansion. You rolled your eyes again. This is all true.
I've seen you try and build things before.
Well, I didn't have the 14-year-old magic that I have now.
Okay.
All right, so I built it up. It was about 3 stories.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And I was really getting into it. And I used up all of the sugar packets. And all of a sudden, this hamburger appears in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And I turn around, and the waitress has bought me food.
What?
Because...
She's trying to hit on you?
She is not trying to hit on me. Okay. She thinks it's so adorable that some little science fiction convention nerd is making this giant... I don't know why she did it.
Maybe you were cuter then?
Burn. Burn. But you know who you're really insulting?
Me?
Yourself. All right, so there I was. And now I've got this hamburger, and that's great. So I'm eating it. Waitress starts talking to me. We have a nice conversation. And, we get up and we leave. And I'm, like, looking at my watch. It's now 10 o'clock. And here's the thing.
How far were you from home? Like, was this in Denver?
It was not in Denver.
How did you get there?
My dad had to drive me and drop me off.
And he didn't know how you were getting home?
Well...
Because it's your dad.
Look, I may not have always gotten along with my parents.
May not have.
All right. They do listen to this podcast.
They remember it.
I'm sure. No, I actually, now that I think about it, they don't know anything about this at all. So maybe I shouldn't tell the rest of this. Nah, what the hell.
Both of our moms
Doesn't matter. So. It was like 10 o'clock, and I knew that if I was going to get a ride, I kind of had to call. But that wasn't... This is a convention. You can't just go home.
Yeah.
Like, that would be lame.
Yeah.
So I need a hotel room. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere...
The waitress invites you up to her room.
That would be...
Disgusting.
Almost what happened.
Aww.
But not quite.
All right.
That's not... No, she didn't... She just worked there. She's a waitress.
Right.
All right? There was another convention going on. And this is the part that gets unbelievable, but I swear this happened, this is true. There was another convention that was going on that was a salsa convention.
What?
Okay? In the same hotel.
Okay.
And one of my classmates, who was this, she was very attractive, all right?
Uh-huh.
Remember, I'm 14 years old.
Yeah, was she
okay?
hot?
Okay? She was hot. She was extremely hot.
But she was there for the salsa convention.
She was there for the salsa convention.
And they were like, let's get these nerds out of the pool.
And... She was there in another wing, and I happened at that moment to run into her.
Uh-huh.
Now, I wouldn't say we were terribly friendly, because I was in 8th grade, and she was now in 10th grade.
Okay.
Like, I hadn't known her for 2 years, right? So, running into her like this was serendipity, right? So, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm at the Star Trek convention. But she thought that was awesome.
There you go.
There you go. Right there. How many listeners out there, if you ever have been 14 years old, or maybe you're 14 years old now...
Thanks to a time jump.
How does this sound like your ultimate fantasy come true?
Oh,
right?
Being like...
Salsa dancer picking you up at a Star Trek convention. All right? This doesn't happen, but it happened to me.
So you went back to her hotel room?
And we're not going to talk about that.
Whoa.
Sorry.
So that didn't last.
Apparently not, but what does when you're 14?
I see.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say nothing happened.
This wasn't one of your ex-girlfriends that I've heard of.
No, nothing happened.
Nothing
I got to sleep in the room.
On the
but,
floor?
No, I got to sleep in the bed, but nothing...
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened, because, let's face it, this is not an explicit podcast.
Right.
If this were an explicit podcast, I'd make something up, because that's much more exciting.
Right.
But in any event...
You got a hotel room.
I got a hotel room.
Were there, like, other salsa dancers sharing the room?
No, it was just her.
Okay.
And that was awesome. I still think back on how awesome that was. Anyway, the point is this.
Uh-huh.
The next day, I went to the convention. The salsa dancer, she picked up my next meal. I went and I saw my friends and had a wonderful time at the convention. And then, all right, no one is going to believe this, okay? It's the end of the convention, right?
Right.
And I'm walking out. My dad is picking me up in his van.
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking out to the van and I step in gum.
Yep.
And it's sticky and gross.
Okay.
All right? I try and scrape it off, but it's really on there. I walk to the car.
Uh-huh.
And I get in the car and I realize that... Like halfway there,
yeah,
it wasn't sticky anymore. I look at the bottom of my shoe.
It's because you stepped in dog crap.
On the way back to the car.
You stepped on her phone number. That'd be good.
Oh.
What?
That's better.
Yeah. No,
I stepped on a $20 bill.
What?
I stepped on a $20 bill.
That's only happened to me like once.
Where you stepped in gum and then
stepped on a
$20 bill?
I stepped on something and then my friend was like, oh, you just stepped on something. Oh, it's 20. But it was pretty good because we went to something that was really rip-off that night. And it had cost $20, so it was like the universe gave me my money back.
You got a refund.
Yeah,
there was
another time when I found a $10 bill on the subway platform, and then later I lost $10 randomly. So the universe gave it to me and also took it away. I'm only breaking even. Like that Seinfeld episode where he throws some money out the window, and then George comes in and is like, I just found 20, you
yep.
want it? Yeah. Thought bird.
Stealing my thoughts. Let me just highlight. Why, sure, this was all like a stretch of good luck, right?
Uh-huh.
This is the only convention that I had ever gone to, before or since, where I left the con with more money than I had when I went in. And that is my life in fandom.
Oh, right. The contact information for the show. check out our show notes. All right, check out our show notes at ninjaconsultant.com and our new site design, which will hopefully be implemented before you hear this. You can email us at ninjaconsultant@gmail.com. You can mark us as your favorite on Podcast Pickle in an ongoing effort to make all anime podcasts in the top 10. And so mark your other favorite anime podcast as your favorites on Podcast Pickle as well. You can vote for us if you like voting for things on Podcast Alley. It's not like we're not listed there. You can write us a review in the iTunes store.
But look, you don't have to do this. This is just, if it's not like, because every podcast, they push it and vote for just don't do it.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I hate pledge drives.
No one is pushing
and
me to
we're not gonna have one. Yes, we love getting email and voicemail. You can call our voicemail number, which
the anniversary party will have already happened by the time that you heard this.
So that'll be in the show.
And we
after
will
this.
Have
right.
already had a good time there.
Right. So the next show is the anniversary. So Skype us. Our Skype name is Ninja Consultant. Our voicemail is 206-203-ERIN, E-R-I-N, or if you're illiterate, 206-203-3746.
Is there anything else that you want to say? There's something else I want to say.
Okay.
In the future?
Yeah.
There is only war.
Back in the time before time, before the age of men, there existed a race not of men, but of elves. These elves roamed the wild forests of Pangaea, existing in perfect harmony with the flora and the fauna. Until one day, a foul wind blew from the west, and the elves knew things would never be the same. The Neros, they emerge from their crypts. Hear them groan as they approach the glen. They're nearly at the walls. The elves draw their bows. Tonight is gonna be the last night for the zombies or the elves. Send those zombies back to hell. So say the elves. They scrape their claws against the wall. The children cling to their mother's breasts. And arrows rain down. Tonight is gonna be the last night for the zombies or the elves. Tonight we're gonna fight the good fight and send the zombies back to hell. Thank you. in the glen, 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 glen. Tonight is gonna be the last night for the zombies or the elves. Tonight they certainly fought the good fight and sent those zombies back to hell. So save the elves.